Is God delighting in you?
In Isaiah, the passage we heard this morning, God said when he restores his kingdom, when Jesus comes, when the world really experiences who he is and we respond appropriately, he said, I'm going to call you my delight. My delight. He says, I'm going to call you a beautiful crown or diadem. Are we that to the Lord? The good God that gave us life and gave us his son? Does he look on us and look down at us and look into us and say, oh, my delight? I think the story we've heard from the gospel is a good illustration of being God's delight. Jesus was there at the wedding. It was not really time for him to start his public ministry. Some scholars believe that maybe Mary was a close friend of the family, or they were some kind of distant kin and had some responsibilities in the family. So when the wine ran out, what a disaster. What an embarrassment to the couple and to their family. So she goes over to her son and tells him about it. And you know, Jesus comes across a little harsh here. She said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Now, a lot of you women might say that's a typical man's response when you ask him to do something. I mean, here they are, relaxing, having a good time, watching TV, ball game, relaxing, and you come over and say, honey, we have this situation. And that's even if they hear you. So, you know, I think that's a pretty typical response. He sounded a little irritated, a little perturbed, a little put out. But when he did something about it, Abba Father looked down on Jesus and said, oh, my delight. That's my boy. Oh, my delight. Yeah, he was a little grumpy. Maybe he was a little short with his mom. But, it's my delight when he does my will. When he does the right thing. And I guarantee you, Mary was saying, that's my son, my delight. We see that in our children. I mean, if you have children, you know about that. I mean, we even delight in friends and spouses and things like that. There are times that we just feel that way about one another. When Jesus, a couple of chapters later in the gospel story of John, was with the woman at the well, if you remember the story, Jesus stayed at the well. He was tired, and the disciples, being typical males, were thinking about their stomachs and food, so they went into town to get some food. Left Jesus at the well, the Samaritan woman came to him, and eventually the disciples came back. It's important for us to hear the words. They came back, a little surprised that he was there with a single woman, which, you know, a good Jew just didn't do. And meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, this is in the 4th chapter, 31st verse, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And not being the brightest bunch of guys on the planet, they started thinking, well, did someone bring him some food that we don't know about? You know, they didn't get the spiritual message. And knowing that, Jesus responded, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Oh, and I'm sure Abba Father was up there and says, "Oh, my delight. That's my boy." Well, Jesus said, we're Abba's children when we accept Him. And God wants to be able to look at each of us and say, "Oh, my delight, oh, my crown and diadem, I am just so proud of them." But we've got to do His will. We've got to live His will. We've got to show it out in the world. It's got to shine through our lives. You know how sometimes little children, and I guess big children can be this way too, but I really think about, I define a lot of things in the context of my grandchildren. Now that I'm at that stage, I have grandchildren. But I remember my children doing the same thing. You know how a little kid will just come up to you and grab on to your leg or pull at your clothes and say, "Daddy, Daddy, I want. Mama, Mama, I want." I mean, you know, the first time or two that happens, you think, "Oh, isn't that cute?" But when they do that like 42 times in a day, it gets a little aggravating. You know, it's kind of like, "Go away, kid." What was that comedian that used to do that? Some of you older ones, these young ones don't know about it. W.C. Fields, there you go. You have to be in a certain age bracket to remember that. You know, he'd go, "Go away, kid. Go away, kid. Don't bother me." You know, after your children have pulled on you and pulled on you all day saying, "Mama this, Daddy that, I want, and I want." But you know, that's pretty typical of our relationship with God. We don't spend a lot of time with Him unless we're holding on to His legs or pulling at His robes and say, "God, I want this. God, I want that. Give me this. Help me with that. Do this for me. Do that for me." Do you think He looks at us in those circumstances and says, "Oh, my delight"? Yeah, I bet He does. Well, we're not spending time with Him. What is His delight? What is our delight when we're with someone, when we're feeling that? I can always count on my daughter to be my delight at special occasions. I don't know how much time she spends in front of the card rack, but she really takes time to pick out cards for her dad. I don't read James. She probably does that for James too, but I think, because I don't notice some of those cards, and she must go through a bunch of cards. But Christmas time, she gave me this card that said, "You know, all of my life you've done so much for me, and I really didn't thank you for it, and I didn't realize how important it was," but much more poetic than that. "I meant to bring the card and I left it." Do you do things like that? But I know the heart of the message, that you've created wonderful memories for me and you have sacrificed for me. And so I want to create a memory for you. And I want you to know, Friday night I had a date with my daughter. You know, one of the prettiest girls I know. And she took me to see Man of La Mancha out at the Crown Theater, which is one of my favorites. And she had never seen it, even though she's a music teacher. Shame on her. But we went out there, and I took her out to dinner, and then we went out to the Crown, and of course she saw like 20 more music teachers there. And we just saw the most wonderful stage presentation of Man of La Mancha. I mean, the scenery was wonderful. Of course, the last 10 or 12 minutes, I was crying. it touched me so deeply. And, you know, I just kept reaching over and patting her hand and thinking, oh, my delight, my precious daughter. We came back to the house. We were talking about the meaning of the movie and the gospel semblance in that, not movie, but play. And I hugged her and I said, darling, I'm so thankful you're my daughter. Well, you see, when we gather for worship on a Sunday morning, we're here to send a card to God that says something. We're here not to beg and ask and claim things because we're Christian. We're here to say, God, I love you. You are so great. You have done so many wonderful and amazing things in this world, in my life, and I love you, and I can't stop telling you all of the ways I love you and appreciate you, and I want you to know you have my heart. God wants to look at us on Sunday morning and say, oh, you're my delight because you've come here. Not so much asking, not so much out of a sense of duty, not here because you're supposed to, because that's what a good person does, but you're here because you want to tell him how much you love him and appreciate him. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to make a difference in the world because we're Christian, because he's loved us, because he's revealed his love to us and wants to share it through us. I heard a story from my daughter-in-law Christmas Day, and I played it through my mind numerous times. Just before Christmas, she had pulled into one of these mega gas stations, you know, that has like 100 pumps, you know, these really big ones. And she was filling up her tank with gasoline. And she looked out near the edge of the road, and she was at this station that was near the big Streets of South Point or something up in Durham. And they live not too far from there. And out on the edge of the road was what appeared to her a mother and a father and two little kids, 2 or 3 years old, just sitting by the curb. And, you know, we live in a day and age where you wonder whether you ought to do something about that. You never know what people are going to do. And she mentioned something to someone. I guess she was kind of looking for some support. And so she struck up a conversation with another fellow pumper and said, you see that family over there? There must be something wrong if a man and woman, two little kids, are just sitting by the road like that. And, you know, they just blew it off, you know, kind of like, well, that's their problem. But the compassion in her heart wouldn't allow her to leave. So she pulled away from the pump, parked to the side. She got out, went down to the curbing, sat down beside the mother. It was chilly, too cold for those little kids to be out there. And she said, oh, why are you sitting by the road? And they said, our car broke down. And she says, well, can I help you? Well, my sister is coming to pick us up. And she said, will she be here soon? Well, we called her about 30 minutes ago, but she lives in Charlotte. And it was growing dark. And she couldn't take her mind off of those two little kids. And she said, are you hungry? Well, Mom and Dad said no. But she looked around at the little boys and she said, are you hungry? And they said, yes. You know, kids will embarrass you and speak the truth. And they said, yes. She said, would you like to go to McDonald's? I mean, not too many kids turn that down. And so she loaded the family in her car, risking the fact that she didn't have the seat restraints that she needed. And she took them by McDonald's, and Mom and Dad went ahead and had something. And then she took them home. And she shared with her son, my son, what she had discovered. And so John went out to the car, put two children's seats in the back, and he drove them to Greensboro to meet up with the woman's sister. I was so thrilled to realize the great compassion my daughter-in-law had. And the act of mercy, one of our responsibilities of Christians. You know, we say we're compassionate. We say we're sorry about things. We look and say, oh, isn't it that a shame? But how many of us do anything about it? That's not compassion. That's sentimentalism. Unless you tack on an act of mercy. And if you don't think I delighted in my son and daughter-in-law. The other day in devotionals, the story came back, and I just had to write her a note to tell her how much what she did touched my life. God wants us to live in the world in a way we're making a difference with His love. Not yanking on His coattails all the time, so self-absorbed with what we want, but looking out at a world that needs people to need people. To do something about our compassion. Is the Lord delighting in you? He wants to. And will. If we do the things that His holy word tells us we need to do to be His children. He will look into our lives and say, oh, you are my delight. Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your great love. Forgive us for always nagging you for the things we want and what we need, rather than just enjoying you, being in your presence, being good children, and showing that we know the difference from right and wrong. We live the difference between right and wrong. And we can be your delight, like a crown or a diadem. Father, we want to be that to you because you've been so much to us in Christ Jesus. May you always delight in us, for we ask your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.